ओम गणतमिनंदस्य गणनाशलकाया चक्षुसुमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदानं ददति सत्यं। वंशे गौपतृभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितृणां भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः। Indra had fashioned a thunderbolt weapon, Vajra, made out of the bones of whom? The Dichi Muni. And Lord Narayan himself had instructed him on exactly what the plan would be to conquer the incredibly powerful Vitrasura. So when the demigods headed by Lord Indra met the demons headed by Vitrasura on the battlefield, the demons, the Asuras, tried all their weapons on the demigods, but the demigods dispelled them completely and were unhurt. And then when they began attacking the demons began to flee. And the demigods pursued them, killing them from behind. And Vitrasura began to chastise first the demons for fleeing because they didn't understand the glory of dying in battle. If one dies in battle, one is fixed in spiritual consciousness in a very practical sense, because if one is fearless in battle, he's understanding there's something eternal, that he's eternal, that he actually doesn't die. He's so fixed in that consciousness, just as fixed in a practical fighting sense than as a yogi who is leaving his body by his own means through the yogic practices, as we saw the Dichi Muni did. So Vitrasura chastised the demons for their cowardice, and then he chastised the demigods possibly even more strongly for their not using any etiquette, but with no chivalry, just killing people from behind when they were afraid. This was considered very low class, abominable. So then Vritrasura said, okay, so you demigods are so brave and so powerful that you're fighting the demons from behind. But now let us see your power. You fight me. And then, for several verses, he began chastising Lord Indra especially, calling him horrible names. But his purpose was to get Indra angry so he would fight. Because Vitrasura wasn't actually a demon at all, as Lord Narayan had told Indra. He was actually a great devotee. And he wanted to be released from his asuric body, which caused others so much trouble. And he knew that Lord Narayan's arrangement for doing this was the Vajra weapon that Lord Indra was carrying. But Indra at this point was afraid of Vitrasura, afraid of his incredible power. And therefore, Vitrasura, with the sharp arrows of his words, poked and shot at Indra, trying to infuriate him so he would fight and kill him. Of course, Indra didn't know this at this time. He was mostly afraid, and he had thrown his club at Vitrasura, which was so powerful in and of itself previously. And Vitrasura caught it with his left hand and he clubbed Indra's elephant, Aravata, sending him back so far, knocking him back so far. So Indra was afraid even that the Vajra weapon wouldn't be effective. So then Vitrasura when he was attacking with his words, he thought, I may be so expert at chastising and criticizing Indra, maybe instead of getting him angry so that he'll fight with me, I may be just intimidating him completely so he might not want to fight. So he changed his tact, he changed his mood, and he began to tell Indra that, in text 18, if you do cut off my head with your thunderbolt, what will happen? Then I will be able to offer my body to the vultures and other living entities and jackals for them to eat, and then I'll be serving them. And I myself will get the great fortune of having the association of the manasvi, manasvinam, those whose minds are always fixed upon the Lord, such as Narada Muni. So he changed completely from chastising to trying to directly encourage Indra to kill him. He said, you should throw your thunderbolt at me. Don't fear that it will not be effective. Don't doubt. It will be effective. It has been empowered by the prowess of Dadichi Muni, according to the direct orders of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Vishnu has taken your side. I must lose. You must win. So don't fear. Do it. Fight. And if you do it, if you kill me with your thunderbolt, then I will be freed of my material bondage. And I will place my mind at this very moment, practically speaking, on the Lord, Lord Shankarshan, and I shall attain the spiritual world. And then he said something to Indra. Basically, he said that I am fully surrendered to the Lord. And although indirectly said, what you're going to gain, Indra, is the proprietorship or the unrivaled supremacy in heaven throughout the world. But the Lord actually, when he favors someone, he doesn't give him that. Because when one has to work so hard to get his material pleasure, and then ultimately in the material world one must lose it. So one ultimately will suffer. So the Lord, being very, very kind, he doesn't award that actually to his devotees. And then we'll read one verse, the 23rd verse is the one we're up to today. Mudrishashura says, Sri Varga Vargikayasya Vigatam Mazmad Patir Vidate Purushasya Shakra Tato Anumeyo Bhagavat Prasado Yodulabo Akinchana Gocharan Anyai. Our Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forbids his devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. The word is Trivargikayasya, for the three objectives, religiosity, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses. This type of endeavor, vigatam, it ruins us, actually. So our Lord, he says, doesn't want us to do that because he is our Lord. He calls him, he says, Asmat Pati. Our Lord, doesn't he discourage us from doing that, from entangling ourselves in material life in that way? And rather, he wants us to gain, which is so far beyond that which is obtainable by unalloyed devotees, not for those who aspire for material gain. So he is our Lord. He's so wonderful. He protects us in that way. I'll read the verse again. Our Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forbids his devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. He pushes us in one way only towards His lotus feet. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees, not by persons who aspire for material gains. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this verse 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, especially 24, 25, 26 are very famous verses and very important, and I have some comments that I'll read after comments by some of our acharyas. But very, very wonderful verse, very sweet verses that really show the incredible depth of devotion of Vitrasura and what his consciousness was actually like. So this verse, first I'll read the verses and then I'll read the purports, read the verses again and then the Prabhupada's purports, which are also very nice but very short, and then I'll say some comments. I'll read some of the comments. So in this verse, O Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead forbids His devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees, not by persons who aspire for material gains. Aham harita vapadai kamula dasana daso bhavatasmi bhuya mana smarate supatir ganamste gvinitavakam akaro tukaya. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be the servant of your eternal servants who find no shelter, who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Nana kapreshtam nacha parameshtam nasavabomam narasalipatyam na yoga siddhi rapunabhavamsva samandasatva virahaya kanche. O my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruvaloka, the heavenly planet, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be the master of mystic yoga, of the powers of mystic yoga. Nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. Ajatapaksha iva mataram kaga stanyam yata vatsaratara churata priyam priva visitam vashana manuravindaksha dadikshate tvam. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. And then the final verse. O my Lord, O Master, my Master, I am wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. So I'll read those verses and then read Prabhupada's purports. The 23rd verse. O Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forbids his devotees to engage uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees, not by persons who aspire for material gains. Let me read some of Prabhupada's purport. The special mercy for the unalloyed devotee is that the Lord saves him from hard labor to achieve the results of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Of course, if one wants such benefits, the Lord certainly awards them. Indra, for example, though a devotee, was not much interested in release from material bondage. Instead, he desired sense gratification and a high standard of material happiness in the heavenly planets. Indeed, he was fighting Vritrasura just over this. He took Dadichi's life, his bone, to get his bones so he could be out of anxiety about losing his position as king of heaven. And now he was going to kill Vritrasura, and Dadichi wasn't attached. Vritrasura isn't attached. So Indra has some attachment. He wants a high degree of sense gratification. So Krishna is awarding him with that and the opportunities for that. Vritrasura, however, being an unalloyed devotee, aspired only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord arranged for him to go back to Godhead after his bodily bondage was destroyed by Indra. Vritrasura requested Indra to release his thunderbolt against him as soon as possible so that both he and Indra would benefit according to their proportionate advancement in devotional service. So, yayatamam prapanyante. The Lord fulfills desires according to how one, what one desires from him. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? Because, as we'll hear in the next chapters, this Vritrasura was actually Maharaj Chitraketu after he had become a pure devotee, but cursed by poverty to take birth in a demon's body. So he had gotten that position as an exalted devotee by the mercy of Narada Muni and Angira Muni. So he's praying again, O Lord of my life, when will I be able to be the servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. Three things. The mind, what is the use of the mind? To think of your transcendental attributes, your qualities. My words always glorify those attributes. And my body, three things, mind, words, and body. And my body always engaged in the loving service of your Lordship. Here's Prabhupada's purport. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. So there's two things really. First part, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter on the lotus feet? So here's the first desire. Gain shelter amongst the devotees. And that shelter is the shelter of service. And then, may I again become your servant. So what will happen? My mind will always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes. And my body always engaged in the loving service of your Lordship. So, and then Prabhupada's first line, first sentence in the purport is this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. Associate with devotees, and in the association of devotees, remember the Lord's glorious pastimes. Hear and chant about them. Speak about them. And render service. That's the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of Lord of the Lord, Dasano Das. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Bhartapada Kamalayor Dasa Dasano Das. This means that one must accept the spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties, namely his body, mind, and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna incessantly. And one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. 25. Nanaka preshtam nacha parameshtam nasavavamam narasadipatyam na yogisadirapunabhavamsva samanjasatavarahayakangshe. O my Lord, source of all opportunities, because after all, the Lord has the power to give anyone, anything that they want. So in that sense, He is the source of all opportunities to achieve anything that we desire. Samanjasa, the Lord of opportunities, the source of opportunities. Samanjasa tvavarahaya kankshe. So, oh my Lord, source of opportunities. And now He's saying what He doesn't want first. This verse starts in the first three lines is na naka, na sava, na yoga. I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this. Oh my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Juvaloka the heavenly planets or the planet where Lord Brahma resides, nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets, all the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be the master of all powers of mystic yoga, to be able to control the elements, control myself, control others, make anything appear, make myself small, make myself huge. I don't want any of this either. Nor do I want liberation, freedom from the material world even, if I have to give up your lotus feet. So by speaking of the negative, what he doesn't want, he's hinting at what he does want, and that is the Lord's lotus feet, which means the Lord's service. Prabhupada's purport. A pure devotee never desires to gain material opportunities by rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. A pure devotee desires only to engage in loving service to the Lord in the constant association of the Lord and His eternal associates, as stated in the previous verse, Dasano Daso Bhavatasmi. As confirmed by Narottama Das Thakur, Tandera Charanasi Vibhakta Sanivas Janame Janame Hoy E Avilas. To serve the Lord and the servants of His servants in the association of devotees is the only objective of a pure, unalloyed devotee. Jata paksha eva mataram kaga stanyam yatavatsaratra churarta priyam prieva visitam vishana manoravandaksha dadikshatetam. O lotus-eyed Lord, Aravindaksha, lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife whose husband is far away, is away from home, always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. So he's saying what his yearning, his desire actually is. Now he's saying directly, before he said what it wasn't, what he didn't desire. Now he's saying what he actually wants. He gives three examples and says what he does want. And what he does want, manoravandaksha dadikshatetam. I want to be engaged in your loving service. Prabhupada's short purport. A pure devotee always yearns to associate personally with the Lord and render service unto him. The example given in this regard, the examples given in this regard are most appropriate. A small baby bird is practically never satisfied except when his mother bird comes to feed it. A small calf is not satisfied unless allowed to suck the milk from the mother's udder. And a chaste devoted wife whose husband is away from home is never satisfied until she has the association of her beloved husband. So nothing else, he's saying, will satisfy me except your direct service. And the final verse in this chapter. O my Lord, my Master, I'm wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Sometimes I suffer, sometimes I enjoy. This wandering from one situation to the next in this life. So many births. Forever I've been doing this practically. Why is it happening? As a result of my fruitive activities, all what I've done in the past. Therefore, what is he asking for? He said it. He said also. He's also said, "Apunabhavamba." I don't want even liberation from this world. So he's not even asking to get free from this cycle of wandering that he's speaking about. What does he want? Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. Friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy. But I wish to be attached to them no longer, that my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. Thus in the Bhaktivinoda purports to the 6th canto, 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Transcendental Qualities of Vikrasura. So in that 23rd verse, it was, O Lord, O Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead forbids His devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, when he calls Indra, it's Sakra. I mentioned this in the last class. Sakra is the name of Indra. That means Sata Kratur, or the one who has performed 100 horse sacrifices. So, O Indra, O Chakra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees, not by persons who aspire for material gains. He doesn't give, here's from the notes I had, he doesn't give upper, middle, or lower enjoyments to his devotees. What does he give? How does he treat them? O Sakra, O Indra, you have completed 100 horse sacrifices. This means that the Lord is not pleased with you, because the horse sacrifices will bestow upon you so much material gain and opulence. You are materialistic, so you can't understand what actually is the Lord's, the sign of the Lord's pleasure upon one. You can't understand it. And then in the Sanskrit, another word is used, is this asmatpati. Prabhupada translates it as O Lord, I think, or our O Lord, or our Lord. Our Lord, yes. Asmatpati, our Lord. Asmatpati, our Lord is so wonderful. He protects our consciousness in every way. That's Asmatpati, our Lord, He's so wonderful. He protects our consciousness in every way. And what is the protection? His affection is that he ruins his devotees' material endeavors. By that action, one can conclude Bhagavat Prasad. Krishna is pleased. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, O Indra, I know my Lord instructed you to kill me with your vajra, your thunderbolt. He wants you to kill me. He plans to give you the heavenly planets. And he plans to be back to his lotus feet. You can understand, if you are wise, who Krishna is favoring. No endeavor, he protects the devotees from endeavor for the three varga kasya, endeavor for the three gains of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Now, before this time, and even over here, in this verse even, Indra, Vichasura was speaking to Indra directly, not to Indra. He was chastising him first and then encouraging him to fight and kill him. But now, again he changes from speaking to Indra. Before he said, Sakra, O Indra. Now in this verse, he says, he's calling for the Lord. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of God, Hari, Aham Hari. Hari, O Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even after the prayers of Vitrasura, Indra could not release his vajra. He understands Vitrasura's greatness after hearing him speak, and he was not ready to kill him. He also was fearing that his vajra may prove useless. So he changed who he was speaking to, Vitrasura did, from Indra, because he's thinking, why am I telling this to Indra? I'm going to now pray directly to the Lord. Because Indra, after all, he's the king of heaven. He's insignificant. I'll directly manifest the Lord's form in my heart and pray to him. Because I had previously seen that Lord, Shankarshan, when I was Chitraketu. And comments also on when this verse says, Aham haritava padaika mulam dasana daso bhavatasmi buya. That means that aham, I, hari, O my Lord, tava pada eka mula. Tava is your, pada, feet, eka, oneness, and mula, and dasano dasa. I want to become, bhavitasmi, I want to become, O Lord, I want to gain the shelter again of those who have dasanu das, the servants of your servants who have taken shelter of pade eka mula, your lotus feet, who have a fixed shelter of your lotus feet. So, so he says, so the first words are Aham Hari, O Lord. And Hari means you are stealing the mind and eyes of your devotees. Because Hari means he who takes away. So what is he taking away? He's taking away, stealing away the mind and eyes of your devotee by your beauty and your pastimes. And you also remove all inauspiciousness in the atmosphere. So you take that away also. Please kindly make me again your dasanudas, the servant of your servants. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, why do I want to become the servant of your servants? Asupati, which means the Lord of my life. The same as Prananat, Lord of my life. You are everything. Let my mind remember your qualities, pastimes, and glories. Manasma, let my mind always remember you. This is the prayer of an exalted soul. He is lamenting that In this life, he is in a demon's body and disturbing devotees. He is remembering the past pleasure of glorifying Krishna. And then, Sridhar Swami comments on the next verse. The next verse is that one that says, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want the heavenly planets, I don't want so many different things. So, Sridhar Swami comments, why are you seeking my servitorship? Why become a servant, the Lord says. The Lord says, I can give you swaga, heaven, heavenly delights, heavenly pleasures. I can give you liberation. You take these things. Such pleasures in heaven. Why be a servant? Take it. Take swaga. Take liberation. And Vishwanath Chakravarti, and his reply, Ritrashura's reply is this. Nanaka preshtam nacha parameshtam na yogisidhir. I don't want any of these things. Neither the highest planet, residence on the highest planetary system, or anything. Liberation, yogic powers, freedom from death and suffering. I don't want any of these things. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, my dear devotee, please take the happiness of swaga, or sovereignty of earth. Now that would be good, wouldn't it? Just clap your hands and all the rulers of every country come and say, yes, Jeff, what can I do for you? What is your order today? Please take this happiness of swaga, or sovereignty of earth, or eight kinds of yogic cities, or liberation. Shaking his head, Vitrasura says, no, no, no. I want nothing but your service. Samanjasa, that was the Lord of all opulences and auspiciousness, the Lord of all opportunities. If I get your service, that's why he's calling him that name, that fulfills everything, every opportunity. That is the fulfillment of all opportunities, of all auspiciousness. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, in your separation, being separate from you, my heart is burning. Swaga and pleasures of this world cannot make me happy. I only seek the three benedictions I said in the previous verse. That is, Mana smarateshu patiyagunam te gunatava karma karutukaya. I want to engage my mind in hearing about you and remembering all your glories and pastimes, and my words in speaking about you. All this in the association of devotees, and my body engaged in your service. I don't want anything else, neither swagana, sovereignty over the earth, or liberation, or powers, or whatever. This is what I want. Your service in this way, in every way. In separation, my heart is burning. Swaga and pleasures of this world cannot make me happy. I only seek the three benedictions I said in the previous verse. Mind, words, and body, at all times. I only want to serve you. To make me happy, please allow me to serve your servant if you really want me to be happy. So, pretty wonderful. And then in text 26, there's Ajatapaksha Eva Mataram Kaga. There's three examples given, and then what he wants. The first example is Ajatapaksha, a young bird whose wings are not yet sprouted yet, they're not yet mature. How they just wait for mother bird. First example. Second example is the calf who's tied up is just wishing to get to his mother. And the third is the priya, the beloved wife, is just waiting for the return of her husband. How is she waiting? Vishana means morosely, because when her husband isn't there, there's no cause of her happiness, because it's priyam. They love each other so much. So she's vishana, just morosely waiting. So those three examples of the baby bird, the calf, and the dear beloved wife waiting. So the first example, he says, so I want to become your servant. Now this is showing, he says, here are three examples of my position. I don't want heaven, I don't want anything. This is what I want, just what I told you before, to be engaging in service. And here's three examples of my position: the baby bird and the calf and the beloved wife. So the first one, the first example is the baby bird. Is not exactly, even though she's waiting for the mother bird to come, what is she really waiting for? Bugs and worms, because she's really hungry. Baby bird's really hungry, but still waiting for mother, mother, mother. And every time the wind rustles through the trees, she's thinking, oh, maybe that's the flapping of my mother's wings, just waiting expectantly for that. So not exactly waiting for mother, but desiring something separate from their mother, the food that the mother's going to bring them. And they're not exact, and when they're not hungry, they don't wait with that type of expectancy. So he gave that first example, Vritrasura did, just like Ajata Paksha Yam Mataram Kaga, the baby bird. But then he thought, this isn't quite good enough, because after all, the baby bird is waiting not exactly for his mother, but for something, his mother to bring something outside of herself to feed me. So then he thought of another example to make it more comparable to what he actually desired in his situation. And the second example was the calf. So at least the mother bird is bringing something outside of herself for the baby, but the mother cow is bringing her own heart in the form of her milk, her own mother's milk for the calf. So it's directly in the mother. So it's even better than the example of the birds, even though the calf is waiting for the wants something from the mother calf, the mother cow, but at least it's inside. But yet the calf still wants something from the mother. So Vritrasura thought that this example isn't quite good. So he didn't actually want anything except for service. So the third example is the wife who gives everything to the husband to make him satisfied in every way. Priyam priyeva vyusitam vishana. And unless she has that opportunity to serve her husband when he's away, she's vishana or morose. So as she waits, the chaste wife waiting for her priya, priya means very dear one, as she waits, she is vishana morose. She thinks always, who is serving him? How is he eating? He may be in difficulties away from home. Maybe he's getting thin. In the same way, the priya, the wife, the beloved wife, isn't thinking of what she's going to get from him, but rather how she's going to serve him due to her love. So this is the exact, more intimate, perfect example. So he says, in this way, Vritrasura wants to see the Lord. My whole body is burning in separation from you, the dikshate tvam, in the same way that that the wife wants to see her husband. O lotus-eyed one, my mind is burning to see you. And then the comment on the last verse is, O lotus-eyed Lord, my Lord, my Master, I am wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship. So what does he want? Friendship and the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached to you. So a comment that I have is, I don't like the association of those who are attached to wife, home, and children. I only want the association of your devotees. This is what devotees pray for. Krishna doesn't give love for Krishna. It's the devotee of Krishna. Krishna is called the Vishaya, or the object of love. But the Ashraya, or the shelter of love, the ocean of love, is the devotee. So he's thinking, I want the association of the Ashraya, those who have an ocean of love for you, and they can give me deep love for you. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, now he is thinking, in great humility and fallenness, I am so fallen, how can I expect darshan from Krishna? He thus prays, in my life, wherever I may go, please give me the association of your devotees. Then I am sure I will serve you. This is how the Lord gives his mercy, by giving the association of devotees. Okay, so that ends the 11th chapter. And then next we'll begin chapter 12, which is entitled Vitrasura's Glorious Death. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
I was thinking of questions kind of related. With the example of Goloka Vrindavan, we see that all the residents are completely devoid of any other desire but to love and serve Krishna. It's kind of hard to see that exact mood. And when we look at Dwapara, for example, where Krishna's sons are also seem to be enjoying, and even in Vaikuntha, the opulence is given to the residents of Vaikuntha in terms of the same opulence of the Lord, the same features. There's a couple more I can't remember. So how are we to understand that they're completely pure and devoted to Narayana?
The first point is certainly there's no one can compare to the residents of Vrindavan in their in a particular flavor of their love for Krishna. Yeah, it's incomparable, so that's correct. But it's not possible for us at this stage of our consciousness to see the exaltedness of either the residents of Vrindavan, practically speaking, or the residents of Vaikuntha or Gokul or Dwarka, like that, because really all we're seeing is our own minds. Because you're thinking, now if I was there with all that opulence, would I even bother thinking about Krishna or whatever? Or yeah, I'd like Krishna even more because I have all this opulence. But it's really, we're imposing, we're projecting our own mind, which is entrapped in the material world and selfish, upon them. That's really what's happening. So when you say it's hard to see or understand it, we could even say it more accurately, it's impossible to understand it. But we should understand that there's no Maya there. There's no false ego there. There is no modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. There's no selfishness there. There's no... everything is composed of the spiritual energy. Krishna is the center of everything. His pleasure is the center of everything. So therefore, when we can't understand it, it's just really our inability to gain access to something outside of matter. And we should just accept that. But we should see that everyone worships Krishna fully. And he's the center of everything. His pleasure is on what's everyone's mind. But it's funny in a sense how the residents of Vrindavan are easier to understand in one sense. But in another sense, they're the most difficult to understand because it's Naralila. It's just like in the material world, and everything in the material world is selfish. But what we ought to understand that even when the gopis are dressing themselves, even when Nandamaraj or Yasoda Mata is chastising Krishna, everything is simply done for his pleasure. But all the arrangements for these kind of things for his pleasure are not made by the external energy, which makes arrangements in the material world for our pleasure, but everything is thwarted, but it's by the internal energy. So the opulences, everything is used for Krishna's pleasure somehow or another, because everything is done by Yogamaya and the Vaikuntha world. Yeah.
I was going to say, why throughout the Bhagavatam, the pure devotees show almost an aversion to the opulences and that one can perceive in Vaikuntha?
Because they want to teach us. They don't want us to get diverted. But it's not an aversion. Just like one can say that the relationship that the gopis have with Krishna is higher than the relationship that Mother Yasoda or the friends or the servants have with Krishna. So because we're basically materialistic and we have ambition, we like to get to the top, so I think, yeah, therefore I must got to go for the highest thing, so I want to be a gopi, like that. But actually, they're all on the same level. But yet, there's spiritual differences on the spiritual platform. So the Bhagavatam, really only Krishna in the Bhagavatam itself is only revealed in the 10th canto, but all the other things are to move us conceptually and purify us spiritually so that we can, when we get there, we can be pure, and hopefully we will be there. So your question exactly was, why do they speak against it? They don't really speak against it. Even said, and the devotees will never speak against those type of liberations and going to Vaikuntha. But what he did say is if it means that it will get in the way of my service to you, then I don't want liberation. So what's dominant is not getting liberation, going to Vaikuntha for liberation. What's dominant in the devotee's mind is the service. So when that really becomes dominant in our mind, serving, loving service, then naturally, then we'll understand everything in the correct perspective. But now, because we're here, we are, you know, what's dominant in our mind is, you know, what's in it for me? Good questions. Any other questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. See, Vichashur and his wonderful prayers ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, we thank you so much for translating Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.